Today's program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid Pairing App, available on Android and Apple devices.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon.
Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel at home.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find my work and me as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight, and single.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I am an actor, writer, musician, occasional bartender, and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight. I'm still single, Jacqueline.
Still
what's going
single.
On?
I know. It's been 11, 12 weeks now, and we're still single. For our second segment today, we are going to be joined by Heritage Radio Network's own executive director, Erin Fame Fairbanks. So come, let us adore her. Let us hail her praises. She's going to share an insane story about a relationship she was once in, which might lead us to a larger discussion about should I stay or should I go now?
Should I stay or should I go?
No. But before we get to that, Thanksgiving is done. Christmas is coming. Hanukkah is here. And we need your money. If you want to support public radio, please go to heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart, and support all of the shows that come to you live out of Roberta's in the back in Bushwick. We love doing this show, and they make it very easy for us. We just come in here every week, and we start talking. And then, like magic, it goes on to the radio and onto iTunes. So if you listen to the show, if you like it, if you want us to keep doing it, please donate.
Please
donate. Especially, we have to say this because our director is in here right now.
Best behavior
and we
today.
Haven't
or else
quite.
We're just totally,
we haven't
like, out
really
on the street,
raised
think,
that much we? Money. Yeah, we are. We've got to be good, and we're already messing up like crazy. But you
mispronounced your name.
I mispronounced your name, Erin Fairbanks. We've been having an interesting day already. But before we bring her in officially to the show, so Ben, you and I are both we have dating stuff going on, but we don't feel like talking about it this week.
It's just sometimes it's complicated to talk about
it
on the radio.
It's,
or sometimes you just feel like maybe our listening audience won't give a shit about what's going on.
I mean, we listen to each other talk about it, and I just feel like neither of what we're going
You're
through.
You're so tired of listening to me. Be honest.
Well,
that's
I'm
what
tired
it is.
Of like having to like majorly psychoanalyze everything that's happening in my dating life, too. Like, we were so, way back in summer, we were so young and excited about talking about our love lives on the radio, and we're already like, oh, God, I've got to go ahead and talk about my dating life. You've got no response to that. You're just sitting. You're just chilling on the other side
of the
room.
I'm just firmly sitting here in agreement.
Okay.
That is all.
So what we've concocted for today, Ben, I had an idea last week. I was out with a girlfriend, and we were talking about how, like, you don't often really get over someone that you sort of regret not being with until you're like madly in love with someone else. Mm. I haven't been madly in love with someone in a while, and so I'm a writer. So I got an idea about. Since I have this show as an excuse, about emailing my last five significant boyfriends or guys I was in a relationship with and ask them the same couple of questions about why they think we broke up. And then I will, before I read their answers, I will answer the same questions and then see what happens.
Like, see if you get the if you have the same answers, or see what where the
discrepancy lies. Exactly,
because
I think it's really interesting. I was talking with this girlfriend about like one particular relationship, and she's like, "Oh, why'd you guys break up?" And it's been a while, and so I figured the answer that I have now is different than the answer I had when we first broke up, and I could sort of like guess now at what the reason was, but I don't really know, and because I'm emotionally disconnected enough. But I'm still curious. So it's mostly just a sociological study about how, like, you
is
know.
Is it a sociological study or is it a personal curiosity study?
I don't don't know. It's if six of one, half a dozen of another. I don't know. No, but like it's mostly because I want to pitch it to a website that I want to write for. I've been writing about non-food things for a couple clients now. I've got a magazine piece coming up. I'm excited about that. It has nothing to do with food. And so I'm like, I'm curious. And we have this show. Like we've got a, I can use the show as an excuse,
right, so,
basically.
So I have two questions for you right off the bat.
Okay.
One is, are you nervous about the answers that you might receive? If are you, I mean, I'm imagining you're going to ask them to be as candid as possible with
you. Oh, God,
you.
Yeah. No, I want, like, brutal honesty.
And so, like, what, I mean, they could say some horrible things about
they
you.
They could.
Like, you're really opening yourself up to hear some, like, heavy criticism about your dating habits or about your life habits in general.
I was nervous about that idea until I was out with a specific girlfriend who's extremely badass. And she's, you know, she's married and she's I wouldn't say settled because she's still like out there in the world and she's crazy talented and wonderful, but she's one of those people that will say what she's like. She doesn't have that sort of wall of worrying about what people are going to think, and she's got this beautiful sense of confidence and owning herself because of it. And so I was thinking about how I might be nervous about that, but the other part of me is like, fuck it. You know, it's like I'm not dating them anymore. I owe them nothing. They owe me nothing. And we've talked a lot on the show about just communication and how communication, you know, a lack of it can get in your way. So, yeah, so I'm going to ask these questions. And I mean, you mentioned a couple weeks ago that you've sort of done the same thing with one girl.
I did it with a couple girls, actually. I was, all right, this is kind of a little embarrassing to admit, but I was feeling a little lonely. This was before we ever even started this show. I was feeling lonely. I was a little like down on myself. I was, yeah, you know, I was like, it'd been a while since I had just kind of like gotten out of something that I was like really psyched about, and apparently she wasn't. So I was like bummed about it, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, like why are these things not working out the way I planned? It wasn't like going back and talking to serious relationship partners. It was actually just like a couple, like people who I had dated in the, you know, recent past.
Right. So it gets to a point and then it doesn't go further.
Yes. And so I was like, what is the matter? And so I reached out to both of them and I was like, hey, you know, I totally respect your decision to not continue things with me, but honestly, I'm just curious as to what was missing for you, or if
what they say.
I mean, I got like almost polar opposite responses from both of them, which was interesting, and they were very different.
All right, what were they?
Women.
Fess up.
One told me. One was a lot younger than me.
So was she like, you're old, dude?
No, she did not say that. But actually,
you're the crypt keeper at 33 years old.
I know,
wait. How young was she actually?
I'm sorry, an idiot. I'm so.
Wait, how young was she?
She was a decade younger than me.
Oh, okay.
So she was burned again by Liz. But anyway, so yeah, she actually said this, which was, I thought, a fascinating response, was that she was like, you ask personal questions and listen too closely.
Ugh. I hate when guys ask personal questions.
Don't you just hate it when someone is trying to like really connect deeply with you?
She sounds like a 23-year-old.
No, well, actually, like...
Okay, all right. What about the other one?
The other one said that, like, she didn't feel as though, like, we had as, like, hot a physical connection as she wanted.
Ouch. Did you feel like you had a hot physical connection?
I felt like it. I was attracted to her, but I felt, to be honest, I was so into her that like I was nervous about being too aggressive physically, because I like was trying to suss things out and like making sure that she liked me and wanting to make sure that she didn't think I only wanted her for
okay
sex.
Well, let's jump to like wait, I want to jump to how did it feel though to have both of these women speak to you so honestly?
It was nice. It was a relief. It was a nice change of pace from what I feel like people get so often, which is some sort of bullshit canned excuse for why I'm sorry, I'm really busy, or I whatever it may be.
And you and I have talked about that before in general, being honest with people if you're not interested and just letting them know where you are instead of ghosting, or instead of just like, you know, making a lame excuse.
Totally.
So is this something that you is my question something that you would want to try with them or other people?
I would, I think, want to go back and talk to like a serious girlfriend that I've had, one in particular who who I think would offer some really interesting insight into what our relationship was and why it ended. I'm interested to know from you what the questions you're going to ask are.
Well, conveniently, I've got them in my hand right now in my little magic machine. Okay, so here's, so I'm thinking five questions because I'm thinking five boyfriends from 5 years, five questions, because I have to think about titles because I'm a writer, so it seems to work. So let me know if you think these are good and if especially the last one might be dropped.
I will judge you very harshly. So
Number one, why did we break up? Number two, what didn't work about us? Number three, what did work about us? Number four, when you think of me now, what do you think about? And number five, do you have any regrets? They're all short. They're simple.
I mean, I'd like that the questions are short and can leave room for either
for a
very
good or bad.
Short
yes.
or long answer
right.
in response.
Is there one that sticks out that you don't think is as...
I mean, there's two questions that sound a little bit similar to me, which are the first two, which are
why did we break up and what didn't work out.
I see what the difference is, but I think if you're going to go with five questions, you can ask one that you can, you know, marry those two and make one that's another.
That's true. In my experience as an interviewer, though, I've heard like a slight change of wording can lead to different things. And because for the piece I'm going to write, I'm not going to say exactly. So I won't say the guy's name, and I won't say there won't be a picture or whatever. They're going to represent, you know, there are five different types of relationships that I was in, but I'm not going to list all of the answers to all five of them. So I feel like the difference in that wording is enough that it, why did we break up is specifically about the breakup itself, about why did we break up at that moment versus like over the course of our relationship, what didn't work out. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, it totally, I guess, depends on the specifics of the relationship. I find for me that oftentimes those two things are the same.
So are you thinking you're going to ask the same or similar questions? Or what question would you want to ask to, especially this one lady?
I'm definitely interested in why, in her mind, we broke up.
Right.
I think that's a very interesting question.
Because that can be so different. Like, I'm thinking,
totally.
Like, what I'm thinking is probably very different than at least two or three. I don't know. Like, it could be completely
different.
And it
different. Totally is dependent on, like, if you were the one who did the breaking
right.
up.
And or time. Like, things that seemed one way, you know, back then. Like, one of these is going back 5-6 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other question that you have that I think is appealing to me is, and this is obviously more for my own just selfish curiosity, is like, what do you think about me now? I think is, or when you think about me, what do you think about me now? Not even because I want her to want me still or want to be in a relationship.
Well, because
with
we
me.
Think about each other.
Totally.
Like, I still think about these people, whether it's an innocent passing thought or something of significance.
And it was a meaningful, you know, all of my past relationships hold tremendous meaning to me in different ways. And I, of course, want to confirm that the same is true for her, and just think it just I'm fascinated by.
Well, and the slight difference of wording on that one was interesting. When I originally had it as "if you think of me now," and my girlfriend's like, "No, of course they think of you." So when they think of you, and I was like, "I love you. You're my favorite girlfriend." Cool. So I think what we're gonna do is, now that we've talked this through a little bit, I'm going to send these out in the next week, and hopefully by the time we come back for our next season on Monday, January 4th, I will have all that in, and I will know where this piece is going to be, and then we're, I think, going to try to get a life or love or relationship expert on the show. And we can definitely, depending on how far you go with this little experiment as well, we can do one or two shows sort of analyzing these answers.
I think I might join you on this.
Okay, good. So we'll figure out structurally what we'll do to come back next season with it. But I think definitely having an expert come on and writing our own answers to these questions before we receive them back, so that we can sort of really honestly get what we thought to be true and then see what happens with them.
Oh, God, it might just be horrible if you think it's one thing and it's something completely different.
That's true, but I feel like with all my five guys, other than maybe like the most recent one, it's so far in the past.
You
I don't want to
so
be with
many
them.
Like serious relationships in your past. That's incredible. I don't have that many people who mean that
I fall
much
into
to
that,
me.
Which is why the past couple of years have been weird, that they've been more vacant of that.
Yeah,
but anyway, but
you might
that's
have
a story
longer
for another day.
List of people than I've got.
Oh, my list is
But
very
my
long,
list will
baby.
Be juicy. It'll be short but juicy.
I don't know. My list is pretty juicy,
too. Oh, well,
too.
All right. Fine. You just beat me in every category,
that's
then.
That's not true. All right, take us out of here,
we're
going
to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be joined by the big boss lady, Erin Fairbanks. But first, a bit on our sponsor, the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid, and some beats from Rec Tech. We'll be back. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist.
listening to this show, you've probably used Tinder, you've probably used OkCupid, and maybe you're bored of these human dating apps. Want to play matchmaker with some more interesting couples? Food couples? Say, drinks and cheese? Well, you can now with the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid app. What beverage complements your cheese? What cheese complements your beverage? Wisconsin Cheese Cupid has the answer. Just choose beverage or cheese in need of a soulmate, and Wisconsin Cheese Cupid will do the rest. Feeling a bit adventurous? Pairing Roulette will create a random yet perfectly delicious pairing for you. So if you're sick of swiping left and right, put aside the dating struggles and make a match that'll satisfy even the loneliest of the lonely. Go to cheesecupid.com or find CheeseCupid in the App Store. Happy matchmaking.
Hi, this is Harry Rosenbloom, host of Feast Your Ears here on Heritage Radio Network. This is my first season as a host, but at the Brooklyn Kitchen, we've been supporting Heritage Radio for many years, and I really believe in what Heritage does. It is a fantastic network that really highlights everything that is going on in food in America, from restaurant openings to farms to my show, where I feature interesting people with interesting stories related to food. But Heritage is a not-for-profit. We don't make any money. Most of the hosts do this because we love to do it, and we really do need your help as listeners. We'd love to have you listen, whether you can give any money or not. The website will still be up. You can still stream your favorite shows. But if you do like the programs here on Heritage Radio, we really would encourage you to go to the website, heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart in the upper right-hand corner, and give whatever you can. If you drink coffee every afternoon while you listen to shows on Heritage, then maybe you can give us the cost of a cup of coffee once in a while. If you want to become a larger member, there's all kinds of great things you get if you become a member of the station and a larger supporter. So please join me, join the Brooklyn Kitchen, join our other great sponsors, and become a member.
Erin Fairbanks knows food. She's worked at Zingerman's Deli, Savoy, and Gramercy Tavern as a line cook and a charcuterie engineer. She spent a year at Flying Pig's Farm and launched the No Goat Left Behind project for Heritage Foods USA. Now she's the executive director for Heritage Radio Network and the host of The Farm Report. She's also a kick-ass lady, literally. She studies Muay Thai, the art of eight limbs, and has invented the dating trick Five Warm Smiles, which we're going to ask her about. Welcome to our little show, Erin.
Oh, it is such an honor. Thank you, guys.
Yay.
We're so excited and a little bit nervous to have you here.
Well, then our feelings are mirrored, mutual, shared.
Woo-hoo. So to start out, if you don't mind sharing, how old are you? What is your dating status and what are you looking for?
I am 36. I am single and I am looking for social dexterity.
Social dexterity. That's a good phrase.
Very important quality. I agree with you 100% on that one.
Emotional availability.
That's God. That's been lacking. You know. No, that's what's lacking in the last three guys on my list.
And then just have your physical and mental health in check.
In check.
That's so it's a short list, but it's a powerful list.
That's a very powerful list, gentlemen out there.
I really like meeting with social dexterity,
and I really like following up with emotional availability. So. So Erin, one of the reasons why I asked you on is a couple weeks ago over a couple of cocktails, you told me this story that blew my mind. Do you remember which story that was? I know you said you've got a bucket of them.
She literally just dropped everything that was in her lap too when she was asked about the story, the pen and the paper.
I'm like, no, it's cool.
I was going to have to talk about that.
Guys, I'm totally ready for this. No, I'm totally ready for this.
So you recap your story about the tattooed stomach. I guess we're going to the six-fingered man and the tattooed stomach.
Yes, exactly.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah, no, I had, I feel like many women I know, I had a big bad ex. I like to think that mine was extra big and bad and special in lots of ways. Mm-hmm. And my tattooed story, kind of how I heard it, we'd kind of broken up suddenly. And
how long had you been dating for?
About a year, just over a year.
So a significant amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was an intense, I mean, it was like an intense relationship. I was all up on it, you know.
Literally and figuratively.
And after not seeing him for a couple of days, he like showed up on my stoop one night and told me this like long forlorn tale of like why he was kind of like forced to step away, and this pressure he got from his ex's family to kind of be with her, and that they went on this show called NY Inked, and you know, this like stuff happened, and anyway, would I like take him back? And I was like, no, okay, you know, like things happen. It was like very dramatic, but like at that point everything about us was super dramatic. And
how old were you at the time?
30.
Okay. No, I'm always curious because of, you know, things we do when we're younger and how young we are.
Yeah, I will admit that
I was thinking younger.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's why.
No,
yeah.
No.
That's
this
right.
Was
30
like,
is the cusp of something.
I was not young. But I had never heard of NY Inc. So I thought it was like a business show about like, I don't know.
NY Incorporated.
Incorporated.
Yeah, Incorporated. flash forward to a week later, we are having sex. He's being like a little weird. He's keeping his shirt on. And I'm kind of like, what's going on? And
I know I, what like, happens and I'm still nervous.
I like flip on a brighter light and I look at him and across his chest written in Italian is, will you marry me? Da, 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 da. And I screamed. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, I told you about it from New York Inc. I'm like, yeah, no, you didn't actually. He had gone on the Real New York Inc. show, which is a show about getting tattooed. And on the show had gotten, the name of his other girlfriend, Will You Marry Me, tattooed across his stomach. And like,
so not an ex, like the girlfriend.
His other girlfriend.
His other girlfriend.
His other girlfriend. Oof. That I also didn't know about.
Ouch.
So it
Liz,
was.
Can we get a sound effect on that
I
one?
Know. Because can we get like every.
Yeah.
Got.
No, Liz is speechless.
Yeah.
She can't even handle it. She's embarrassed. She actually said she was going to wear some headphones for this episode.
Mm-hmm. The boss doesn't get burned, you know?
Yeah.
You can't burn the
well,
big boss.
Yeah. That was a big burn. So
did you
know,
stay with him or what happened?
I did. Yeah. I did stay with him. We were kind of together on and off for about another year.
How did you justify staying with him in your mind?
Well, you know that story about like, you know, you put a frog in a pot of water and then you just like slowly raise the temperature and then the frog like doesn't really realize it's getting hotter and then it dies. I feel like relationships can kind of be like that sometimes, or at least this one was for me, where it's like, I start out as like a fairly normal, sane person, and like the small like layers of like chaos and lying and drama build up around you, and so your like tolerance increases. I feel like I'm really that type of a person where like my like ability to deal with something gets like stronger, and in this case, it was like a negative superpower. Most cases, I feel like it serves me a little bit better. And so I think I just got like accustomed to being in a super weird,
but was
chaotic.
It just endurance, or there must have been some like really positive aspect of this relationship too? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, he was really fun and really funny and like sexy, and like I think there was a big part of it where he brought out this like space for me to like be misbehaving. I feel like I spent a lot of time in my life up until then feeling like I was kind of performing in a way that was expected of me. And I liked the idea of stepping off that stage a little bit. And
how'd you feel about yourself during that then? Like how did you, were you happier with yourself as a person with him during that?
I was always incredibly happy when we were together and pretty much a shit show when we were apart. So
why? Because
I think being, when we were together, you know, we got to kind of create this like alternative universe where like nothing kind of outside of what was going on between the two of us, like really mattered. Like in a way that I've like never experienced in another relationship, we didn't really like fight. We didn't disagree. Like we just like hung out. Like, I think maybe we watched like one movie together the whole time. We were just like, had a chat, had a laugh, and it was fun, but it also precluded my ability to have a relationship with like anyone else.
So let me ask you this, because I understand that feeling of deep desire and like lust and like intense feelings when you're with someone. And I think I find myself chasing that a lot of times because that's a great feeling to have. It's very stimulating and fun, and it feels like the greatest love imaginable. Do you still, I mean, now that that relationship ended and it ended the way that it did, and you, I imagine, learned something from it, I'm curious, like, what you learned from that, do you find yourself still chasing that feeling at all? Or, like, how do you cope with a relationship that doesn't have that, knowing that it's probably healthier?
Well, before you even get to that, I want to know how it actually ended, though. Like, when you ended, like, what happened?
It's so funny. It's, like, all the crazy things that happened, like, the like, line was drawn for me when he showed up at work, and he had brought me this like big bag full of lingerie. Saw this like really beautiful stuff, and I like took it home and I put it on, and I was like, man, this is all like super hot and super sexy. And I had that moment where I was like thinking about those women you see in movies or read about in books who are in these relationships with guys who just kind of like string them along with gifts or vacations or, you know, jewelry or whatever. And I was like, whoa, I am totally stepping in that direction.
And
that
superficial was, romance.
Yeah. And I was like, I can't be that girl. Like, I don't know why, like, that was the thing. And I was just like, that's it. I'm just done. I don't know. It was like, that was the line for me. It's weird because, like, definitely way grosser stuff had happened, but that was a thing. I'm just like, you're straying too far from kind of who you are, who you want to be. And it's a slippery slope. Like I said, it's like flexing that muscle. I'm like, you know, it's not like things happen all at once in any type of relationship, like good or bad. Like the person you're with, you're training each other, like kind of how to be with each other, how to be in the world, how to communicate. And I didn't want to like be a joke.
So to Ben's point, like, what about that do you find you've brought with you, though? I mean, what about the good things and that passion do you find you still carry with you?
I think it's, like, nice to know that you have, like, such a range of emotions. I think there's, like, some power there. I think I learned a ton from that relationship, like, about myself, about, like, my personal boundaries, about my support network. I mean, so many people were, like, really, like, working super hard to like be a support network for me, and I just was really shitty to them, and they were still working really hard for me. And I definitely like lost some friendships and like had some, there's a lot of like other relationship collateral. But I think also like I gained a lot of confidence in like my like sex appeal and my like ability to attract a man on like a physical level. I don't think I'd ever really like had that in quite such a powerful way, and I felt like I had learned this thing where I'm like, oh, I know how to be sexy. And like, I don't think I like really was into that before then. Like, it was like, I was kind of like, meh, I just can't be that bothered. And I feel like I gained this like other perspective at like how to like exist. And it felt like, oh, cool, this is like a thing. It's like a thing I can do if I want that feels like fun sometimes.
Well, I definitely get that from you. You seem like a very physically comfortable, self-assured, confident woman in that way. And I guess that very well leads us to Five Warm Smiles, which a couple weeks ago,
which sounds so dirty.
It sounds just so like dirty. Right off the top, and right I do have this video of you explaining this,
brother.
But because we've talked a lot of this season about offline dating, about just meeting people in the real world. I definitely have a new habit of texting you when I've made copious amounts of eye contact and smiles with men who then do not come across the room and ask me out. So will you explain for our listeners what the Five Warm Smiles is and how you practice it?
Yes. Well, this was a technique I developed with my little sister. Both of us have been single for a couple of years, and I was like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, we're attractive and like fun and interesting, and I thought, you know, we're probably not just like projecting availability, because you know, nothing else made sense. And so I'm like, how do I just kind of work on a practice of like being more approachable? And I came up with my Five Warm Smiles technique, not patented. But it's really simple. It's like, you know, from sunup to sundown, out in your life, on the subway, at the grocery store, you know, at work, walking down the street, five times throughout the day, make eye contact with someone that you think looks interesting or attractive or appealing to you in some way. And give them a warm smile. And, like, that's it. Like, there's no, like, oh, and then ask them out, or then shake your booty, or, you know, it's just...
Though that is optional if you want to shake your booty, you can.
Yeah, shaking your booty can, you know, lead you in different directions. But I think for me, I've really found that, like, it's a thing that I can do that kind of gives me some sense of control. Cause sometimes I feel like when you're out and you're, like, dating and you're single, it can feel a little bit like... just like, gosh, I'm just like here waiting. There's nothing for me to do. And I'm like, I like to have a task and a practice.
Especially, I don't know about you, but I get really annoyed when people throw the whole like, oh, well, it happens when you're not looking for it. Because, yeah, that happens to some people. And it doesn't to other people, though. Like, you know, you can say the opposite, that you have to be putting yourself out there and be open in order to find that right person. So it feels like an empowering forceful way.
I think, like, look at when people say it happens because when you're not looking for it, what they mean is it happens when you're not desperate for it. So, like, you can be looking, but it's, like, it's the desperation, I think, that makes it not come.
Maybe. I don't know. I've just had so many people say that. It's like, oh, when you stop looking, that's when it finds you. And I'm like, bleh. It's like the whole, like, oh, you know, you work too hard at life. Like, all right, whatever. So I like the five warm smiles because of that, it feels like
you're
doing something.
Do you actually put this into practice every single day?
No, I feel like my kind of, like... the desire to be like actively dating kind of comes in waves, and I find it to be a very powerful technique.
How many dates does this get you?
I mean, I just feel like it's like one of those things where all of a sudden you feel a little bit like I do anyway. I'm like that like character in like a Sex and the City episode where, you know, they're just like meeting people all the time and you're like, what the hell? It kind of, I don't know, it feels like that where it's like gone out with guys I've like met on the subway, met at the library, met in a grocery store, like met at a friend's party. It's just, it feels like I'm like, when I can, my sister says she calls it something a little bit different. She's like, you gotta get your mind right to get your grind right.
I like your sister. Does she live around here?
She's in Chicago.
All right, well, when she comes to visit, I think the four of us have to go out so we can see this in action and try to let it
smile
rub
warmly
off on us.
People.
Exactly. We can let it rub off on us. Awesome. Well, before we leave, changing subjects completely, it is, you know, it's going into the warm and cozy dating season.
Cuffing season, if you will.
Right. Cuffing season, which I'd never heard of before until recently, when you just, cozy up with someone because it's going to get cold outside. So since we have a Beyond Food restaurant expert in the room, why don't we each close the show by sharing a highbrow and lowbrow favorite place to canoodle and snuggle up this winter within the five boroughs and the border of Jersey, if anybody wants to go there. Who feels like going first? Erin.
I'll start. Yeah. I have like a, both of them I feel like are a little medium brow, so sorry. Not sorry.
Oh, we can't kick you off the show.
One, I think it's like good to have date spots that are like a convenient location to the five boroughs, which is why I like the Rum House at the Edison Hotel.
That was going to be one of mine. That's great. I love the Rum House. Yeah.
I think it's like chill. The drinks are like delicious. They usually have some like live music. The seating's like nice because you got to get a little cozy. And it's conveniently located by all major transport.
It's like on 51st or 50th?
47th.
47th.
Yeah, 7th and 8th.
It's really good when it's raining out, too, or snowing, when it's really gross out.
Yeah.
It's like darky mood lighting.
Yeah. I'm not like in that neighborhood a ton, but it's like definitely a place I'm always like, oh, you, my old friend.
Yeah. Here. It's so Raymond Chandler-esque, too. It's like, we live in New York City and I need a French 75. Right? No? Nobody else?
I like
I
the
feel
voice.
Like my rum is like more Hemingway.
It's more Hemingway. That makes sense too, though. It's very, well, it's a very literary type of place.
Oh, yes. You should know, in addition to making poor men choices, I'm a very literary.
It's dark and it's cold, and so I need, yes.
Yes, short declarative sentences. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
My other spot is, you know, the neighborhood joint that now that I moved a few blocks away, I feel like can be a date joint. And that's Bed Vine Brew over on Tompkins and Putnam Ave. Super chill, great like beer and wine on tap. Again, just like super mixed crowd, good vibes, nice music, a little more like low key, but definitely not low brow, and like convenient to me.
Awesome. Cool. What about you, Benjamin?
Both of mine are in this same neighborhood, the Lower East Side.
It's a good neighborhood.
It's one of my favorite neighborhoods. The highbrow is high. It's I wouldn't, it's, again, it's probably closer to medium brow, but I think because you're asking for a place you can snuggle up on, too highbrow, you can't really snuggle up.
True.
You know, so very this true. Place has, like, some couches, some, like, nice, comfortable, cozy atmosphere. It's a place I've mentioned before on our show. It's called Sunita, and it's owned and the bar is tended by this woman named Sunita. It's basically a one-woman show, and it's really, you go for the jalapeno pomegranate martini.
What?
Which sounds
sounds like a hangover.
No,
it sounds like a hangover. Okay. I'm not saying it is a hangover.
Oh, it sounds to you like one,
sounds
okay?
Sounds to me like a hangover.
No, it's delicious, and it's like not too fruity, not too girly.
Just like you.
Delicious, yes. but no, it's fantastic. But basically, you can't go wrong. She's a fantastic mixologist, and we'll...
We need to have her on the show. You've talked about her twice now.
I know,
we need to
actually,
bring her in.
I think you're absolutely right.
Let's
and I had a really fun conversation with her about dating when I was there last. So
perfect.
We will
season
have her
two.
On.
She's on the docket.
And then right down the road, right down the block, is one of my favorite dives in all of the world, which is The Magician.
The Madge.
Which, you know, is a place I've been going to since I moved to New York over 10 years ago. And it really, for me, there's two main reasons to go. One is the killer jukebox, and the other is the very, very stiff, cheap drinks.
I think you can still get during happy hour like a whiskey for $4, something like that.
Well, yeah, it's or if you get cheap. Like a rum and Coke, it's really like a rum with like a splash of Coke, and it's like $6.
And an amazing bouncer. You know. Her name is Joey. She's awesome. I've had many a drunk conversation with her about her school and her daughter. And Joey, if you ever listen to this, I adore you. And I leave her love notes now and then. Like, she's not even working, and I just walk in and leave her a love note. But awesome bar.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to, like, for me, I don't like to dance to, like, hip-hop or, you know, techno or whatever, and it's just got the right tunes right. on the jukebox for me to kind of, like, get closer with a lady. So
cool.
Take your turn.
My lowbrow is, it's just called Johnny's. It's Johnny's Bar. It's on Greenwich between like 13th and 7th Avenue. It is the divey. It's like the only dive bar left in Washington. Ooh, Liz is giving me double thumbs up out there. Yeah, it's like an awesome dive bar that I usually end up at very late when I'm already maybe locked lips with someone. It's a great, like, let's grab a whiskey after you've been drinking other things. So that's definitely like,
and grab each other under the table.
Like you do. Like you do, you know?
Yeah.
It's just great, especially during snowstorms when like the city is quiet. Johnny's Bar is still there for you. And my higher brow one, this is a plug for Virgola, which is our first guest. Joseph Morazzo, his tiny little romantic alley-wide bar is on Greenwich and Charles. And the original one in the West Village is only 6 feet wide. It only seats 18. Like, you sort of have to get snuggly, and it's Prosecco and oysters, and it's like, it's, I bring non-romantic people there, but it's a, I brought many a first and second date there. And he's, this week he's opening his East Village spot. It's 111 East 7th Street between 1st and A and B. I don't quite remember, but 111 East 7th, and it's a little bit bigger, but it's like black brick, and it's all Italian wines, and it's really good lighting. It's like the kind of lighting that makes everybody look hot. So that's my higher brow.
The only thing Prosecco is, gentlemen, if you go there, the owner might steal your lady because
he's very handsome.
Really attractive.
If you listen to our
so
first episode, Ben might have said that he hates him.
I don't hate him.
But. Yeah, but he's great. And that opens this week, so definitely check out Virgola on 111 East 7th Street. Thanks, guys. This was a very like warm and cozy and deep, heartfelt day for all of us. Thanks for coming on, Aaron.
Thank you for having
Maybe
me.
Maybe you'll come back and visit us again one day.
Got lots of stories.
Yay.
That was just one of
that was like, one I know I didn't want to rush that one because it's such a good one. So thank you for opening up and sharing that with us.
My pleasure.
So next week is our last show of our first season. We're so excited that they've asked us to continue on in January. So next week we are going to be back with Anthony Raymond of Elsinore County Theater Company and Andrew McLeod of Union Beer. They were our two guests for our pilots. If you've gone to Love Bites Radio, you can listen to their segments there. They were never live, so we're going to bring them back next week together, and I think we're just going to drink a lot and talk with these two.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. Like, all of the responsibilities in my life are kind of winding down too.
Right, so next
just
week is just
time
it's
for like
celebratory.
A good party episode.
Exactly. So we're going to the whole show. We're just going to be talking with them. We're going to let them weigh in on our current situations, and since they're both very brash and you know they're men of the world, I guess you could say. So that will be men of. Why are you laughing at me like that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean.
I'm laughing at them.
At them. Yeah,
I'm going to be loose lipped. I hope
I think we all get it. Yeah, we get a monetary credit for Roberta's that we've saved up for next week. So we're just blowing it all on drinks next week. So that will be interesting. But until then, you can hear all of our past episodes and subscribe and review us on iTunes and hit us up on Twitter and Facebook as Love Bites Radio. Our engineer today was Malachi. Thank you so much, Malachi. Thanks to our sponsor, Wisconsin Cheese Cupid. Our theme song is Chloroform Perfume by No Denial. And we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We'll be back at this same time next week, right here on heritageradionetwork.org.
See ya.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon. Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this whole.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Saw ya, I'd beg on my knees for your love.